Let me draw your attention to two verses in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. I particularly want to draw your attention to the word Christian, which occurs in verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian. In the Authorized Version, the noun Christian occurs three times, only three. I don't know whether you were aware of that in this place. In the book of Acts, twice, Acts chapter 26, 28, verse, chapter 26, verse 28, when Paul was before King Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And we also read that at Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. And those are the three occurrences of this word in the New Testament. The word Christian is a translation of the Greek noun Christianos, which Young's Concordance gives the meaning as being belonging to Christ. Belonging to Christ. It's lovely to be able to say, "I belong to Jesus Christ. I belong to Jesus Christ, not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity." Hallelujah. Genuine Christians are Christ's sheep, given to him by the Father. He speaks of them as my sheep, my Father which gave them to me. I give unto them eternal life. My Father has given me these sheep, and they are mine. Christ loves to speak of his people as my sheep, mine. They are from among the Jews and from among the Gentiles. There was a great division in Old Testament times between the Jews and the Gentiles. But the Lord Jesus Christ has broken down the wall of partition between us. And now God is gathering to himself people who are Christ's sheep from among the Jews and from among the Gentiles. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. Even as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Christ is building his church. God is gathering together in one all things in Christ. And there are people who are in Christ, and there are people who are not in Christ. And he is gathering together Christ's sheep into one fold, into one church. "And I will build my church," he says. "My sheep will hear my voice, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Now there are two things that I want to tell you about Christians this morning in particular. The first is this: a Christian is a disciple. A Christian is a disciple. I did refer to that verse in the book of Acts, and it was at Antioch that we are told, at Antioch, And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. It was the disciples who were called Christians. There are all sorts of people calling themselves Christians today. But this title only belongs to disciples. It is the name of disciples. Acts chapter 11 verse 26. Disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So then, a Christian is a disciple. In apostolic times, believers, genuine believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, were called disciples. And we read of Paul confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Disciples had begun in the faith. They had embraced the faith which was once delivered to the saints, the faith details of which are recorded in this holy book. The faith which has never been changed is exactly the same today as it was in apostolic times. God has not amended this book in any way. True faith is described in the Holy Scriptures. And disciples were people who had embraced this faith and who were exhorted to continue in it. And we read in the book of Acts of disciples at Jerusalem, at Damascus, at Antioch, at Lystra, in Iconium, Caesarea, and in Galatia and Phrygia. They were all over the place. As the gospel was preached, men embraced this faith and became disciples. And the disciples were disciples of the Lord. I told you, Young's gives the meaning of the word Christian as belonging to Christ. Very apt. Disciples are the disciples of the Lord. Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, his sheep. The Lord knoweth them that are his. These are my disciples. They are the Lord's disciples. Now, what is a disciple? What does this word disciple mean? Well, the Greek noun which is translated disciples or disciple is mathetes. Mathetes. And it actually means this: one who is taught or trained. A disciple is someone who is under instruction. He is under training. He begins his training as soon as he becomes a believer, and we continue this training all our life upon the earth. A disciple is basically someone who is being taught, who is being trained. And of course, such a person is someone who is learning. A disciple is a learner. We can wear our L plates as believers all our days upon the earth. We are learners. And we can keep on learning, and we should keep on learning. This word mathetes, it is opposite in meaning to the meaning of didaskalos, which means a teacher. A disciple has a teacher. The supreme teacher, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, the Bible tells us they should all be taught of God. We are learning from God. God is teaching us from his word, teaching us through the ministry of his servants whom he sends. We are learning. That's what a disciple is. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, and this brings it out admirably well. The disciple, or the mathetes, the learner, is not above his master, didaskalos. He is not above his teacher. The disciple has a teacher. We have a teacher. God is teaching us. Christ is teaching us. He sends his servants to teach us. And we should be ready to learn. And however long we're on this discipleship path throughout this world, we're still learning. I say it often. It is one of the wonders of Christianity that we can never stop learning. The wonder of Christianity is that there's something new to learn all the time. And the more we learn, the more wonderful it is. And of course, if we had received the instruction that we are given and we put it into practice and abide by it, we shall be blessed. Genuine disciples should have a teachable spirit or a teachable disposition. David wrote long ago, "Teach me thy way, O Lord." That is the essence of a disciple. Oh God, teach me, I'm so ignorant. I have so much to learn. Oh God, teach me. When you come to hear God's word being preached, come in that attitude. Oh God, teach me. When you open the Bible, oh God, teach me. Let me learn. I am a disciple. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me, Lord, in every situation to take the right path, to take the right decision. Now, the Greek noun, mathetes, is related to a Greek verb, mathuo. And this is translated teach in the phrase, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Teach all nations. And I've got an authorized version there which has got in the margin, "or make disciples." Disciples are people who have been taught. The apostles were to teach people, and as they embraced what they were taught, they became disciples if they believed. That's the basic thing about a disciple. I'm a learner. I'm being taught. Now, among the disciples, there are some teachers. God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondly prophets. Thirdly, teachers. You can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. There are some teachers in the church. We're all learners, we're all disciples. But to some of these disciples, God gives a gift to be able to teach others. These men have the ability to open up the scriptures. They have minds which they can use to meditate and think and pray and develop the ministry that God has given them, and then stand up and teach others. Not everybody can do that. God has set some. We're not all teachers. But there are some, thank God. And I am very grateful that I've sat under the feet of able teachers of God's word and been able to learn. There are only some teachers. And generally the people of God who have got discernment, they can soon sort out the wheat from the chaff and know which are the genuine ones. Are all teachers, says Paul? No. That's a rhetorical question. The answer is obvious. No. There are only some. But those who are teachers have a great responsibility. If they have the opportunity to minister God's word, they should take it. But they should do it with the intention of ministering to the glory of God for the benefit of the hearers. That's what they should be doing. James wrote in his epistle, "Be not many masters, for we shall receive the greater condemnation." Now that word translated masters there is didaskalos, which could be translated teacher. Be not many teachers. You know, there are some people, they don't want to learn. They think they can tell everybody else what to do. Be not many teachers. We shall receive the greater condemnation. It's an awesome responsibility to teach the Word of God. That word translated masters there, it is translated teacher in the words of Nicodemus to Jesus Christ. Thou art a teacher sent from God. We know thou art a teacher sent from God. Now disciples should be taught. What should they be taught? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You teach them to obey everything that I've told you. You teach them. You mustn't pick and choose. You must accept this book in its entirety. Disciples are to be taught to observe everything that Jesus Christ taught. Every word that Christ that is recorded in the four Gospels. Read them, believe them, obey them. And those who are sent to be teachers should teach disciples to do that. And we should all be doing it. Now the Lord Jesus Christ said this: if any man love me, he will keep my words. People can talk in a sentimental way about loving Jesus Christ. Well, these are the people who love me, says Jesus Christ. If a man love me, he will keep my words. He will not argue with the preacher. He will not argue with the Bible. He'll keep it. He'll want to obey it. And this is what he says: and my Father will love him. Oh, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You obey this book, my dear friends, and you will enjoy the presence of God. Not only in church, but in your home, in your place of work, wherever you are. You will enjoy the presence of God. And in his fullness, in his presence, his fullness of joy. Do you want to be happy? You obey all that Jesus Christ said. You'll find happiness there. Jesus Christ says this too: he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Do you keep his sayings? Maybe someone says this morning, oh, I'm afraid I've been very remiss in this. But I hope you're also saying this: but from now on I want to do better. I want to keep his word. Well, keep his word. Observe his sayings. And the Father will love you. And Christ will come to you. And the Father will come to you and make their abode with you. And fill your life with joy and peace and gladness and comfort and strong consolation and mighty hope. Well, that's one thing about a disciple, a Christian. He's a disciple. The other thing that I want to emphasize about a Christian is this: genuine Christians have been called. They have been called. The people to whom Peter wrote this epistle were Christians. And he says, he writes to them about God calling them out of darkness into his marvelous light. You've been called. You've been called. A Christian is someone whom God has called. A time came in his life when God called him. God visited him and called him out of darkness into his marvelous light. In the Authorized Version of the Bible, if you'll read 1 Peter through, you will see that the word called occurs four times in this first epistle. Peter was fond of using this word. Preachers today don't seem to be so fond of using it. There's something wrong. We should be very fond of using it. Peter used it. You can read through this epistle. It won't take you long to do it. And see how many times he uses the word called. He uses it four times in the first epistle, and he uses it again in the second epistle. And also in the second epistle, he uses the word calling. Make your calling and election sure. Make sure you are called. That's what he's saying. A genuine disciple, a genuine Christian, has been called. Now God had called these Christians to whom Peter wrote out of darkness into his marvelous light. They had been in a state of utter ignorance. They knew nothing about spiritual things. Then God called them. The dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee, wrote Wesley, describing his call. Oh, glorious light! We were in darkness, ignorance, and then God called us, and we saw the light, marvelous light. People who have been called out of darkness into God's most marvelous light understand spiritual things. We understand about the forgiveness of sins. We are very conversant with this. We pray to God continually, forgive us our sins, and he does forgive us, and we know that we are forgiven. We become experts at that. We should be, so that we can able to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Hallelujah! Do you use that language? That is the language of people whom God has called. People whom God has called out of darkness understand about God. I know him. I know him! The atheist can say there is no God. I laugh at him! The fool has said in his heart there is no God. I know him! I speak to him every day. He's my constant companion. He does wonderful things for me. And you tell me he doesn't exist. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We know different. We know. We know about Jesus Christ. We know about salvation. We know what it means to be saved. We know about creation. Oh, children, stupid, ignorant men will tell you that this world started with a big bang. It is nonsense. It is a lie. God created the world in 6 days. That's what happened. That is the truth of the matter. We know that. Because God has told us. He was there. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. Our God is a great God. He is the Almighty. Look about you. He made all this. He did it all in 6 days. He made the stars also. He made the sun and the moon and the earth. He made man and the creatures. Only God can make a tree. We know these things. The law of the Lord is perfect, making wise the simple. Dearly beloved, don't be ashamed to believe your Bible. Don't be ashamed to believe that God created the world in 6 days. I can assure you nobody will be ashamed on the day of judgment to say, God created the earth, the heaven and the earth, and all that in them is, in 6 days. Everybody will know that day that it's true. When God calls people, he calls them into the fellowship of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And these people, to whom Peter wrote, they were disciples, they were Christians. And Peter tells us, Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. You love him. You've never seen, I've seen him, but you haven't. But nonetheless, you love him. And though you haven't seen him, you believe in him. Unto you that believe, he says, he is precious. That's another thing about people who have been called. They love Jesus Christ. They believe in Jesus Christ. We've got absolute confidence in him. I place my soul in his care. With absolute confidence. To whom can I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I depend entirely upon thee, O Christ. Thou art the shepherd of my soul. I am one of thy sheep. Thou hast given to me eternal life. Thou hast said, I shall never perish. I believe thee. I believe thee. There were some people, you know, who said to the Lord Jesus Christ that God was their father. Jesus Christ said to them this, if God was your father, you would love me. That's the truth of the matter. If God is your father, you will love me. People whom God has called, he has called unto holy living. God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness, wrote Paul. And Peter in this same epistle here, he says, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. God has called you. He is the holy God, who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. And as he which has called you is holy, be ye holy. For he has said, be ye holy, for I am holy. How can we be holy? Well, we can be holy if we seek to apply all God's word to the totality of our lives. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. In everything that you do, ask yourself this question, what does the Bible say I should do in this situation? Do it. That's an absolute essential for living a holy life. Live according to this book. Seek to please God always in everything you do. Seek not to offend him in any way. Of course, we all do offend him, and we are ashamed, and we lose our peace, and we lose our joy, and we feel terrible. But blessed be God, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is a process that goes on all the time. But we know when we've sinned. We become aware of it. We are convicted of it. Our conscience cries out against us. God's words speak to us. And we are ashamed. And we are contrite. And we come begging for mercy and pardon. And blessed be God. He never denies it. He never drives us away. Though we come to him as returning prodigals, he never drives us away. Wonder of wonders, he welcomes us, pardons us, cleanses us, restores us, fills us with joy and peace and gladness. Now Peter wrote here Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief. Comes as a bit of a shock to find Peter writing such a thing to Christians, isn't it? We need to be warned about these terrible sins. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, nor as a thief. God said to the Israelites, "Thou shalt not kill." He said to them, "Thou shalt not steal." Peter wrote to Christians, "Let none of you suffer as a murderer, nor as a thief." Those commandments apply to you as much as they did to the Israelites long ago. There were saints at Ephesus to whom Paul wrote, "Ye are called in one hope of your calling." He also wrote to them, "Let him that stole steal no more." Stop it. You've been called. Let none of you suffer as a thief. People whom God has called and justified should seek to obey the Ten Commandments. How often do you hear that said today? No wonder our country's in such a state when men ignore the Ten Commandments, or when preachers fail to preach about them and call upon men to obey the commandments of God. This is the whole duty of man: fear God and keep his commandments, not break them. Dearly beloved, his commandments are not grievous. And John wrote, "Hereby we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." Do you want to keep the Ten Commandments? That's how you ought to feel as a believer. To these people, Peter wrote, "Let none of you suffer as an evildoer." John wrote, "Sin is a transgression of the law." If you break the law of God, you are sinning. Even if you are a Christian, you break the law of God and you are sinning. Whoever breaks God's law is sinning. Well, let none of you suffer as an evildoer. We are not to be engaged in evil doing, but in doing good. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. We should be walking in good works. That means that we should be habitually trying to do what is good, not what is wrong and evil. Those who have been called to do good works. Paul wrote, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Sin is an embarrassment to us. It causes us problems. It destroys our peace. It takes away our joy. So banish it from our lives. Avoid it. I want to cling to my peace with God. I want to enjoy fellowship with God. Well, be holy in all manner of conversation. Peter wrote to these people, "Let none of you suffer as a busybody in other men's matters." Busybodies are a nuisance. And Christians should never be busybodies, interfering in other people's affairs. We should never put ourselves in the position where someone can justly say to us, "Mind your own business." We should seek to avoid putting ourselves in that position. Let none of you suffer as a busybody in other men's matters. Those whom God has called, he has called to behave in a certain way. Let me read you these verses from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Finally, be all of one mind. Be all of one mind. We should be striving to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We shouldn't be creating divisions among God's people. Be all of one mind, having compassion on one another. I guess if we were all having compassion on one another, we wouldn't have much trouble in being of one mind. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. Make it your object to love people, to behave in every situation towards God's people in a loving way. Have compassion. Have understanding. Feel for one another. Empathy, sympathy. Love as brethren. Love one another. Be pitiful. We should never be cruel. We should never be heartless. Be pitiful. Take consideration of the sufferings of others. Be courteous. Oh dear me, a Christian should never be rude. A Christian should never be rude. We should be God's ladies and gentlemen. Be courteous. Be courteous. We have to stop to think. We have to think what we say. Bite our tongue. Say the right thing. We need to be thinking all the time. We can all slip up on all of these things, but this is what we are called to be doing. Not rendering evil for evil. I'm going to get my own back. No. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord, if it's necessary. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Oh dear me, Christians should not be railing at each other and calling each other names. These things are all wrong. But contrarywise, blessing. What a difference. Now I've read you these verses, but then he says this, knowing that there that ye are there unto called. God has called you to behave in this way. I hope you'll read this first epistle of Peter when you go home during this week. Note how many times he uses the word called and tell, and note what he says what we are called to do. We are called to behave in this way. Be of one mind, having compassion one to another. Love us, brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. Bless and curse not. Bless one another. Pray God to make you a blessing to other people. And if you do, He will return the blessings upon you hundredfold. You shall reap what you sow. Knowing that ye are there unto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. My dear friends, are some of these things that I'm saying to you challenging? Do they seem harsh? They're not really. If we obey these things, we will be blessed. God has called us to inherit a blessing. He has called us to behave in this way. And if we behave in this way, we will be blessed. I see my time has gone, really. I should be stopping. I just mentioned this. Those whom God has called, by Jesus Christ, after ye have suffered a while, we are called to glory. We like that bit. Lovely. Yes, but after you've suffered a while, we've got to suffer down here. So don't be surprised if you suffer. We are called to that. Anyway, I must stop there. Peter wrote to these people later in his second epistle, and he said, make your calling and election sure. They were elected before the foundation of the world. They were called before Peter wrote his epistle to them. He says, you make sure you are among the called. You make sure you are among the elect. That's what he's saying. Make sure that you're not fooling yourself. Make sure that you are elect. Make sure that you are called. These people have been called and chosen. Make sure you're called. Make sure you're chosen. If a man can make certain that he is called, then he can be sure that he is one of the elect. I know I am one of the elect. I cannot go up to heaven and look into God's book to see if my name is there, but God has informed me that I am one of the elect. He has called me, and he has called me because I am one of the elect. Now then, I've tried to tell you a little bit about Christians this morning. Does what the Bible teach about disciples describe you? Does what the Bible teaches about people whom God has called describe you? If you can say yes, yes, I can see from what you've said that applies to me. I'm one of these people whom God has called. I really am a disciple. Well, blessed are you. God has called you to inherit a blessing. God has already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He will bless you all your days upon the earth, and he will bless you forever. But is there anyone here this morning who says, well, I've listened to what you said, Mr. Preacher, and I'm afraid I cannot claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I cannot claim to be called. Well, I have a message of comfort to you. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Repent and believe the gospel. Turn from your sins. Let the wicked forsake his way. And let him return unto the Lord, and he shall have mercy. And unto our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God grant that on the day of judgment, we shall all here present this morning discover that we are among those to whom the Lord Jesus Christ will say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen.